put a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, July 28th, 2020 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday and continue on. First, I'm going to tell a little interesting story through a sort of confluence of efforts, interest, and attention. It was brought to my attention, or I discovered last week that a server that I maintain for a variety of different purposes and businesses and so forth had been compromised. And in researching that, it's very interesting how dark and mysterious this compromise was initially, and how far-reaching it's become. It's the most far-reaching compromise I've ever seen. And that just seems to imply intent, like there's some manual intent. People write scripts to do malicious things. I've talked about the use of AI and machine learning to automate those tasks. I've said, I think, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago, that it wouldn't be surprising, you know, after what was the title of that article? The Free Code Camp article, I think. Yeah, the announcement from, it was the article published January 6, 2017, titled "The Mind-Blowing AI Announcement from Google That You Probably Missed" by Gil Fuster. And how he talked about it in the closing weeks of 2016, Google published an article that quietly sailed under most people's radars, and that Google had used, well, the title of that article Google published was "Zero Shot Translation with Google's Multilingual Neural Machine Translation System." And Gil Fuster talked about how Google released the machine learning. They released a machine learning library into the Google Translate code base, and within a couple of weeks it decided, previously it had translated from language to language, in other words, from English to German, German to English, Japanese to English, English to Japanese, etc. So within a couple of weeks, the code base decided all by itself that the most expedient and efficient means of translating would be to write its own language and to translate every other language to that. And I remember reading that and the hair on the back of my neck stood up. So I've been talking about this stuff for a while, and it's not surprising to see things happen of this nature. In fact, what I've been saying over the last few years is that it's surprising that we don't see more of it. It's not surprising to see companies want to go to, you know, like Windows, for example, Microsoft Windows as a service now, where you don't get the update button anymore. And there's a legitimate justification for that in a machine learning world that can, what you can do is you can turn machine learning loose on combing a code base to try to find a vulnerability. And then once it identifies a vulnerability, to write an exploit for that vulnerability and then go out and look for the version of that software that has the vulnerability to exploit. And it can do that in real time, essentially. Combing the code base, finding a vulnerability, writing an exploit, and then going through the web to try to find a system to exploit, and doing that in real time. So if that is happening, then obviously you can't push the update button fast enough to beat the machine learning algorithm. So I'm not surprised, but this is a situation that seems to involve some help, you know, some layers and levels of trying to really dig in and do as much damage as possible. But what was really interesting to me is, as I dug in, and it's been very difficult to find help from the experts on this, which is also kind of fascinating to me. Help seems to fall into the memory hole somewhere. Hey, you guys want to help with this? And crickets, gaslighting, and those kinds of things. So that's interesting. But as I looked into this system exploit or compromise, I discovered that the initial hack, if you will, originated from an IP address that ties back to Microsoft in Virginia, no less. So it started with an IP address linked to Microsoft in Virginia, which is interesting. But what I also learned, Hampton, Sydney, Virginia, Microsoft Corporation, I also learned that someone, so there was a specific targeting, and then once a network of sites was compromised, essentially with phishing exploits or just some files and things added, really not to do anything other than to say, aha, see, this site is infected and suspicious. This server is infected and suspicious. But what I also heard, I learned that I wasn't essentially supposed to learn, I think, was that someone had called and complained just basically immediately after a number of sites on the server had been compromised. At the moment that they'd been compromised and reported to Google, for example, as potentially malicious, someone called the company that maintains the server and filed a complaint that Azure accounts had been compromised. And anyone who knows about Azure knows that it's a Microsoft product. So I just thought it's interesting that, I don't know, recently I've been pretty critical of Bill Gates and related interests, and all of a sudden there's an attack that originates from an IP address that traces back to Microsoft in Virginia, and someone logged a complaint about Azure accounts being compromised, and I have no affiliation with Azure accounts, so that isn't necessarily surprising in this kind of exploit, but I just thought it was an interesting, kind of curious coincidence of timing. Being critical of Bill Gates and related interests, and then suddenly an exploit originating from an IP address that ties back to Microsoft in Virginia, and then complaints about Azure accounts being compromised. Strange things, kind of like FedEx drivers showing up and shooting people at their homes, or people posing as FedEx drivers, I should say. And I think it's also interesting, speaking of that, and how I think the organized crime, the gangsters and gangsterism of the 1920s went corporate and mainstream, it's probably important to remember, speaking of Judge Esther Salas and that situation that I just touched on yesterday, that Fred Smith is a skull and bones man, and his economics professor, when he heard the idea floated for FedEx just laughed and said, that'll never work. Not possible. So anyway, here we are today with lots of strange things happening. And like I said yesterday, I tried to make it abundantly clear that I think the first issue is overcoming the hurdle of the mental hurdle of understanding that those forces which we all have come to believe or been made to believe, as it were, perhaps, are operating in our best interest might not be. And I always think of J. Edgar Hoover's quote from that article, Communist New Look, A Study in Duplicity, in the Elks magazine, August 1956, when he wrote, "The menace in this country will remain a menace until the American people make themselves aware of its techniques. No one who truly understands what it really is can be taken in by it. Yet the individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. The American mind simply has not come to a realization of the evil which has been introduced into our midst. It rejects even the assumption that human creatures could espouse a philosophy which must ultimately destroy all that is good and decent." J. Edgar Hoover, longest acting director of the FBI, a guy in a pretty good position to know of which he speaks. And in America, we have this unique, I would say, disposition of believing. You know, the rest of the world has seen the evil perpetrated at the hands of Americans, quite frankly, if we can be honest. I mean, Smedley Butler wrote about it 100 years ago, give or take. Okay, 85 years ago. But, you know, war is a racket. He said, I was a high-paid muscle man for big business. He created banana republics. And so, you know, since then we've seen more of that. Obviously, the rest of the world knows. I've talked about, you know, folks like William Bloom have written extensively about this. Everyone should probably be reading William Bloom's bibliography, I think. You know, just go to williambloom.org, williamblum.org, and you'll see what I mean. I've talked about several of his books. For example, Killing Hope, U.S. Military and CIA Intervention Since World War II. This is since World War II. So in less than 100 years, you know, you go through the chapters, and I've just read through the chapters. The chapters is horrifying and embarrassing. You know, chapter one, China. Chapter two, Italy. I mean, you just go through the names. The chapters are essentially what NATO might call nation-building spates, or what RAND Corporation might call nation-building spates. But, you know, Greece, the Philippines, Korea, Albania, Eastern Europe, Germany, Iran, Guatemala, Costa Rica, Syria, the Middle East, Western Europe, British Guyana, Soviet Union, Italy, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, etc., etc. Haiti, of course, and several of them multiple times. So this is reality. But we have a unique position in America, or perspective. Talk about that. Any clearer than we do
now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
So the first hurdle that one must clear or ascend in America is this bias, this cognitive bias of what is usually referred to as American exceptionalism. Most people would never believe that what is happening is possible, and it is happening. I mean, there's so much evidence. You know, we could fill an ocean with the evidence of what's happening and what has been planned over the last, say, 100 years or so, 100, 150 years. Folks with inordinate power and influence and who have amassed wealth through nefarious means for a long time, and it's been more and more nefarious, I would say. You know, guys like George Soros, again, you know, you listen to that 1998 Steve Croft interview, and you want to talk about a hardcore, hardened psychopath who should not be in charge of any society, anything. remaking of society. This guy clearly has bad intentions. You know, we talked about how he said, I studied language and how it works and these kinds of things. He's a very sinister character, I would say, among many other sinister characters. And he's kind of a small fish in that pond, I would say. Even though he's given a great deal of credit. So there is this idea of American exceptionalism that we as Americans must overcome. It's similar to the British arrogance of, you know, the Rhodes Milner contingent, for example, which is sort of emblematic of a broader arrogance. That's a more tenured arrogance, though. Ours is more like a petulant child that wants to tell the world how to behave because, you know, we know better, which is obviously oxymoronic and hypocritical. So America has been running around playing the policeman for the whole world for a long, long time. You know, Martin Luther King talked about that in very powerful and colorful terms, and it wasn't a new discussion then either. We've been used as the tip of the proxy tip of the spear to go around conquering and to conquer, as the Bible says, the whole world, bringing it under subjugation, spreading freedom and democracy, terms of art created by Edward Bernays to normalize and couch as acceptable what is horrifying and should never be acceptable. To draw folks in and conscript our best and bravest to do the evil bidding of folks who want to subjugate the world. These are the kinds of things that have been happening. Again, if you're not familiar, read anything James Perloff has written. Read William Bloom, read Anthony Sutton's bibliography. Read what these people have written. Read anything Jonathan Quitney wrote. Read what Gary Webb wrote. On and on. The list is long. So we have to understand that, like Lord Acton said, you know, we have to get over that mental hurdle of American exceptionalism that's been drilled into us. Now it's going the other direction with cultural Marxism coming to the fore. You know, there's this idea that we self-loathing is sort of built into cultural Marxism, and we should hate ourselves, we shouldn't have pride in country and things like that. And it's all, you know, both of those ideological bents are sort of all-encompassing. It's all or nothing. And so you lose the nuanced discussion of, yes, we've done bad things, but by and large, I think the American people mean well. The Bible admonition notwithstanding, that there is none righteous, no, not one. You know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God is what the Bible says. That notwithstanding, I think that, generally speaking, Americans want to do right by others. But, you know, we have these folks in positions of power, and usually from behind the scenes. Like, you know, we played the clip of Angus Bergen yesterday. Remember that? Policymakers reaching to the shelf to grab something to experiment with. Well, who put it on the shelf? Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hmm.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Extend your life.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
This idea of American exceptionalism cannot be overstated. And again, this is probably the most insurmountable hurdle of cognitive bias that's been inserted, maybe second behind it, conspiracy theory. Oh, conspiracy theories. It's, you know, who said, you know, so many people, you know, how did John Judge put that? He said, how did he put that? I don't know. I'll think of that in a minute. Anyway, so this idea of American exceptionalism is a very fascinating thing. It's the hurdle we have to clear. And even our own history cautions against the idea that there are infallible folks in our midst, you know, that somehow here in America we have cornered the market on truth and justice and righteousness, when we know, you know, it's not true. Folks in positions of power and leadership have instituted bad programs that persist. You know, out of the Clinton era, for example, we get the United States penal colony, essentially, and the highest per capita incarceration rate in the entire world. That's not a good bastion of leadership and a beacon of freedom, I would say. But, you know, going further back in history, Jefferson, again, I mean, I hinted at a couple of these. You know, Jefferson said in his inaugural address, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the kings of form, or have we found angels in the form of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question." And history is unequivocal. Lord Acton talked about that. I'll get to that. Washington said in his farewell address in 1796, "All obstructions to the execution of the laws, all combinations and associations, under whatever plausible character, with the real design to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberation and action of the constituted authorities, are destructive of this fundamental principle and of fatal tendency. They serve to organize faction, to give it an artificial and extraordinary force, to put in the place of the delegated will of the nation, the will of a party, often of a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community. And according to the alternate triumphs of different parties, to make the public administration the mirror of the ill-concerted and incongruous projects of faction, rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common councils and modified by mutual interests. However, combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends, they are likely in the course of time and things to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion." And of course, I usually mention Andrew Jackson in this discussion and his farewell address in 1837, of a very similar nature. And by that time, things were really starting to shift, but we had the warnings. We had those early warnings. And the Jackson administration in particular were the seeds of the so-called Civil War. People say the war of Northern aggression. I say the war of Eastern European banking aggression, to try to tear the Republic once and for all in order to weaken it and serve the purpose of exactly what George Washington described in his farewell address in 1796. So we have these warnings, but perhaps one of the most glaringly obvious that should caution against American or any exceptionalism and should exhort and admonish us to a more humble perspective, because like the Bible says, pride goeth before a fall, and we seem to be falling now in America because of the pride of American exceptionalism, which is a complete ruse. "Do you hate your country, Chris?" Of course not. I love my country. I love my countrymen. which is why I'm trying to stand in opposition to forces that are trying to destroy us from within, which was also spoken to by many folks, including Abraham Lincoln, most notably perhaps in his Lyceum address. Shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step the ocean and crush us at a blow? Never. All the armies of Europe, Asia, and Africa combined with all the treasure of the earth, our own excepted, in their military chests with a Bonaparte for a commander, could not by force take a drink from the Ohio or make a track on the Blue Ridge in a trial of 1,000 years. At what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected? Lincoln said. I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide. Is America being suicided? I think the answer is self-evident, and the question is rhetorical. So humility is in order, because pride goeth before a fall. And if people really understood what was going on with this mask stuff, it wouldn't be, you know, people have a very linear and short view of what's happening. They don't understand the calculated approach that's being meted out. And so a little more sobriety, a little more humility, and a little more of a taking it day by day, perhaps, and a little more rugged individualist self-reliance, perhaps, is in order. You know, I've talked about some the what seems to be a mass migration. People are talking about, I'm hearing folks in real estate and other industries saying that there's a migration. There's basically, people are fleeing certain parts of the country. People are buying property sight unseen. I've talked about the overwhelming number of folks. Suddenly, you know, people are supposed to be cowering in their homes, afraid to go outside. And there's a flood of traffic in small towns in Montana, for example. So, you know, perhaps it's time to get our wits about us, become a little more rugged and self-reliant. We are, you know, largely crippled in this society, and we've been told that in communitarian fashion we should celebrate our handicaps. I'm sorry, you can't say that anymore. Our, you know, whatever the latest term of art is, and whoever is the most injured, the most crippled, the most handicapped, the most victimized, is the most courageous and heroic. That's the Orwellian way, isn't it? Communitarianism works very, very well that way. And so now we have a society that seems largely predominated by this victim psychopathy that is actually the bully of our society in communitarian fashion. So the way Lord Acton put it, and then I'll move on, you have to get your mind around the possibility that the possibility exists that these powers, these forces, your government, for example, might not be operating in your best interest. Our foundation in this country is in those ideas. You know, like Benjamin Franklin said, it is the first responsibility of every citizen to question authority, not in a subversive anarchist sort of way, but in the fashion that checks power, like Lord Acton. You know, this system of separation of powers that we were supposed to have inherited, if we can keep it, which has been welded together now. We have this big, powerful, you know, thing that then was welded together, beginning particularly, most notably, perhaps in the turn of the 20th century, the progressive era, and the administration of government, which is agnostic, as I mentioned, which is a bunch of hogwash. It was just an end run, sidestepping the separation of powers, consolidating them in the Administrative Procedure Act now, the fourth branch. And the FDR administration talked about it, wrote extensively about it, studied it, and figured out how to wire everything together. And much has been written about that. I've talked about Gary Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State, published in the Harvard Law Review in 1994. How many people have read it or even heard of it? The Third House versus the Fourth Branch by James P. Hill, published in the John Marshall Law Review in 1986. How many people have heard about it or read it? I have. They told me I got the last print copy. I was sort of ashamed to take it, but then, I mean, I've talked about it many times over the years, so who else is talking about it? To whom much is given, much will be required. And I would consider that piece of information much. And, you know, R.J. Pistrito sort of summarized much of the subject matter, including citing Gary Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State. In his work, most notably, I would point folks to the Birth of the Administrative State, where it came from and what it means for limited government, back in 2007. So much has been written about this, but we're in an interesting place now. But we need to get to the point. So just to summarize this, the way Lord Acton put it, that should summarily dismiss this notion of American exceptionalism. We should humble ourselves. The way Lord Acton put it, in a very long letter to Archbishop Creighton back in 1887, very long letter. Who writes like that anymore? No one could read that. Oh, it's not 144 characters or less. So in that letter, Lord Acton wrote, if we might discuss this point until we found that we nearly agreed, and if we do argue thoroughly about the impropriety of the Carlyle's denunciation or the Pharisaism in history, I cannot accept your canon that we are to judge Pope and King unlike other men, with a favorable presumption that they did no wrong. If there is any presumption, it is the other way, against holders of power, increasing as the power increases. Historic responsibility has to make up for the want of legal responsibility. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Great men are almost always bad men, even when they exercise influence and not authority. Still more when you superadd the tendency or the certainty of corruption by authority. There is no worse heresy than that the office sanctifies the holder of it. That is the point at which the negation of Catholicism and the negation of liberalism, that's classical liberalism, meet and keep high festival, and the end learns to justify the means. You would hang a man of no position, but if what one hears is true, then Elizabeth asked the Gaoler to murder Mary, and William III ordered his Scots minister to extirpate a clan. Here are the greater names coupled with the greater crimes. If you would spare these criminals for some mysterious reason, I would hang them higher than Haman, for reasons quite obvious. Justice still more higher for the sake of historical science. The standard having been lowered in consideration of date, is to be still further lowered out of deference to station. Whilst the heroes of history become examples of morality, the historians who praise them become teachers of morality and honest men. Quite frankly, I think there is no greater error. The inflexible integrity of the moral code is, to me, the secret of the authority, the dignity, the utility of history. If we debase the currency for the sake of genius or success or rank or reputation, we may debase it for the sake of a man's influence, of his religion, of his party, of the good cause which prospers by his credit and suffers by his disgrace. Then history ceases to be a science, an arbiter of controversy, a guide of the wanderer, the upholder of that moral standard which the powers of earth and religion itself tend constantly to depress. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Good stuff. Extended musical interludes. So to finish that quote, Lord Acton, the inflexible integrity of the moral code is to me the secret of the authority, the dignity, the utility of history. If we may debase the currency for the sake of genius or success or rank or reputation, we may debase it for the sake of a man's influence, of his religion, of his party, of the good cause which prospers by his credit and suffers by his disgrace. Then history ceases to be a science, an arbiter of controversy, a guide of the wanderer, the upholder of that moral standard which the powers of earth and religion itself tend constantly to depress. It serves where it ought to reign, and it serves the worst better than the purest. And we are in the midst of watching this kind of thing unfold in America today. So why doesn't Black Lives Matter, for example, topple the Georgia Guidestones maintained from the public coffers? Because that organization won't bite the hand that feeds it. And there is a Malthusian eugenicist contingent that wants to eliminate a large portion of folks that they consider, you know, in simple terms, stand in the way of so-called progress. So Black Lives Matter isn't what it's purported to be. It's just a social virus that is released on the public at large to destroy the existing social order so that the folks who fund it can remake society as they see fit, and their overlords, their shadowy overlords, shall we say. And so that's why Black Lives Matter won't touch the Georgia Guidestones, which you would think anyone who espouses these kinds of beliefs would attack first, but of course not. Of course not. Show me where a man gets his corn pone, and I'll tell you what his opinions is. Second hour coming up. Stick around. Be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.